It's raining out here in LA. I gotta play some rain music. I gotta get y'all in that mood. It's raining, so I gotta get a little rainy vibe going on, family. That's that old school Orange Juice Jones. Get it. And him. That's the jam right there. What y'all know about that Orange Juice Jones? That's that old school player shit right there. But what's up, man? What's happening? We're here. Welcome to Tariq Radio. I'm a little late doing the show this week. Been busy taking care of stuff, but I'm here. I'm here for the family. And we're going to chop up some real good game as we usually do. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to chop up game to call up. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, so don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Every place that African men were dropped off during the Middle Passage, they brought with them martial culture, martial aesthetic, and martial posture, born in Africa. To Brazil, they brought capoeira. To Jamaica, la ja. To the West Indies, calinda and broma. To Venezuela. What is known about the Afro-American contribution? What did the warriors from Africa bring to the United States? Well, I can tell you, in one word, a lot. Find out more about the history of the Afro-American contribution to martial arts in the film Urban Dragons, a documentary available for instant download that's paired with some amazing bonuses detailing some of the most deadly men that this world has ever seen, using their skill to empower and defend their communities. Experience the sense of empowerment that comes with reconnecting with the African martial aesthetic. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com and tap into a missing piece of us that will make us so much better in so many ways. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com.
Listen up, family. Are you looking for some amazing beats for your next project? Then check out my man at DesmondABeats.com. He has hip-hop, R&B, pop tracks, everything you need to have a dope song. Go to DesmondABeats.com right now because he's running a limited time deal on beats and you don't want to miss out on this. He also has a song mixing and mastering service so you can get that crisp, tight sound. So again, go to DesmondABeats.com. What's up, family? Are you struggling to get your business off the ground? In today's digital economy, anyone can start a company from home, but only a few will know how to launch their brand online and actually make it successful. If you want to uncover the same knowledge that 6, 7, or even 8-figure earners know how to use and generate, then go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq and get the free ebook, The 6 Secret Steps to a Money-Making Website. Inside, you'll learn the 6 essential elements you must know to include on your site to start getting sales. So again, go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq.
Yeah. Oparis.com, that's the website. A lifestyle way more than a name brand. Plenty of apparel, yeah, they changing the game, man. To make you fresh, that was part of the game plan. And they talking financial independence. Oparis even talking health and wellness. You need to check this if you want to elevate. Oparis is the real deal, better get it straight. Ay. Yeah, they got what you like, so ahead of the rest. So visit the website, that's Oparis. Yeah, that's Oparis, Oparis.
You look out your window and see people enjoying a beautiful day. But you can't because you need to wait for hours at the tax office to do your taxes. Those days are over. Let Hoosier Tax Man help you. We do tax preparation, individual and business. And best of all, you don't have to leave home. With our virtual tax prep service, submit your documents to our secure and encrypted portal. We use the same level of security your bank uses for online banking. We are licensed and bonded, and you'll get the maximum refund guarantee. Call us at 1-800-951-9591. 1-800-951-9591. Or visit us at whosyourtaxman.com.
Hey, fam. This is T, co-host of the mind-blowing podcast, Champagne Sharks. Join me and co-host D. Mills and Mike as we use current events, pop culture, and history to break down the psychology and unseen daily workings of white supremacy. We guarantee you'll never look at the world around you the same way again after just one listen. Just Google Champagne Sharks to find the show. And for my Black Panther movie peeps to fuck with Team Killmonger, check out our Killmonger Was Right and Killmonger Versus Everybody shirts over at KillmongerWasRight.com.
Do you have bad credit? Have your credit applications been rejected due to unemployment, slow pays, or even identity theft? We can help. The Credit Pro specializes in removing bad credit history from credit reports. You only pay when credit items are actually deleted from your report. If you can't get a car loan, can't get a mortgage, or can't get a credit card, our team of certified FICO professionals can repair your credit. Even if you've been the victim of identity theft or have previously declared bankruptcy, we can help. Call and schedule a free evaluation to start repairing your credit. We specialize in removing bad credit items. You don't pay until items are removed. Call 844-631-4137 and schedule your evaluation today. The call is free and the evaluation is free. Call us today and start putting your credit problems behind you.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Fair, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, what's up, family? I'm here. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ready to chop up some good game with the family as we usually do. The show is a little late this week, but I'm here. I've been running around taking care of a lot of stuff. You know, we my group Mink Slide, our single is going to be out on the 20th of March. iTunes, Apple Store, Google Play, all that stuff. So I've been getting all that ready. Our debut music video, I think that's going to be ready Sunday, so I might be able to play the new music video this Sunday on the live stream this Sunday. So you guys need to really check that out. Y'all need to, somebody said in the chat room, said sing a snippet. Hell no, nigga, this ain't The Voice. who are you, DJ Khaled? No. But my editor said that the video should be ready by Sunday. So hopefully I will be able to show you guys the debut Mink Slide music video Sunday night. We had a good time shooting the video down in Hollywood. My lovely co-host Bree and Layla there in the video looking like a couple of snacks. You guys are going to love that. And speaking of Brie and Layla, again, we have the Indiegogo campaign because we're going to do the Ism Radio travel reality show where we're going to be traveling around the country, showcasing the wonderful black businesses that's around the country that we all need to know about. We got to get that networking thing in order, and we want to get you involved. Go to Indiegogo, click on, or just type in Ism Radio at Indiegogo when you go there. Or if you're watching live now here on YouTube, just click on the link before under the screen. There's a link under the screen, and everybody can get involved. We're not even raising that much money. We're just getting like 10 grand, and we're only doing that. It's a low amount. We just want everybody involved. I like when the community gets involved with these projects because that puts a certain energy on it, and that gets us in the habit of aggregating small amounts of resources. See, the thing is, we don't need a whole lot of money. It's just a whole bunch of people putting in a little. We get a lot of stuff done that way, and I want us to get into the habit of that. That's why the funds, we're only just looking for 10 grand, and that should be done. We should get that shit in a couple of days. We got almost 2,000 now of that. So everybody contribute to that. That's something that we're going to do and get popping. And the phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. Now, the rapper Rick Ross, something's going on with that brother today. Some people were saying that he was in the hospital on life support. There's some people close to him who said that he's not on life support. The rapper Fat Trail said that he talked to him and everything is cool. I think my brother Nipsey Hussle talked to him or talked to his people, I think. I'm getting a lot of secondhand information here. But hopefully Rick Ross is all right. Hopefully the rapper Rick Ross is all right. Somebody in the chat room, people are saying they can't see me. You're not supposed to see me right now. I know y'all cannot see me. You're not supposed to see me. You're supposed to see a picture. So you guys are good. But like I said, hopefully my man Rick Ross, hopefully he's going to be fine. Hopefully he's going to be fine. There were some people talking about RIP earlier. So damn, y'all quick to kill a nigga off. Damn. My God. People are real quick to kill somebody off, but hopefully my brother is good. Hopefully he's good. I heard he's doing good, so hopefully he'll be all right. Anyway, so today I'm talking about cleaning house and the need to clean house. Now, what do I mean by cleaning house? You know, the system of white supremacy globally, they are in a house cleaning mode. You notice they're attacking other people in white society. They're criticizing other white people in white society. There's almost a civil war going on in white society with the white people and the white extremist. And the white supremacists are the ones in power, and they're doing a little house cleaning right now. They're letting other people know, you better get on board with this global white supremacy thing, or you're going to be a target too. They are cleaning house. And you got to understand that concept. Other groups will clean house when it comes to them having a perceived empowerment of their group. See, the white supremacists, they feel like their numbers are dwindling, so they need to get all white people on board. If you're not on board with the racial domination subjugation game, then you're going to be a target too. Notice how they're on code heavy. The white supremacist media, the white supremacist law enforcement agencies, the white supremacist politicians, they're all on the same code. They're on that house cleaning code. And they're punishing people who are getting off code. Now, the NRA, they had a rally, which was basically an alt-right rally, that CPAC thing. And they're so bold, they were criticizing shooting victims. Notice, none of these people are really criticizing the shooters. They're on code with the shooters. These white supremacist shooters that's out here slaughtering and massacring people in large numbers, look at how the media is talking about them. Troubled kids, troubled children, misunderstood, mentally ill, lone wolf. I mean, they're throwing softballs to these white shooters out here. And by the way, there was a shooting today at, I think, some school in Michigan. It was basically, I think one of the students shot his parents. They came up there to visit, and I think he shot his parents, and he's black. And we started tweeting, hey, this is a troubled youth. He's a troubled teen. He's a child who was wayward. And the white supremacists are like, oh, hell no, that's no child. That ain't no goddamn child. That's a grown thug. How dare you call him a child? That's no boy. That is no youth. They take offense to that. But he is a child. If Nicholas Cruz is a child, this black man is a child too. If Nicholas Cruz is a troubled teen, well, this black dude is a troubled teen too. But the thing is, they're getting on code. They're coming up with all types of stories talking about the boys are broken, talking about has fatherless society created killers. I mean, they're making up all types of excuses for these white killers. Yet they're shitting on the shooting victims. That's them cleaning house. The NRA got on board shitting on the victims, and there are white corporations who said, we're going to distance ourselves from the NRA. And Delta was one of them. Delta said, we're going to stop giving discounts to the NRA. So the politicians down in Georgia, they started to threaten Delta with tax breaks. They're going to take their tax breaks away. And I think they actually passed a bill that would take away Delta's tax breaks. In Delta, they employ damn near 30,000 or over 30,000 people in Atlanta. But the white supremacist politicians are like, hey, you better get on code and we're going to clean house with you too. I mean, they're willing to just throw millions of dollars down the drain to clean house. These white supremacists are on code heavy. And look at the reaction they're having about South Africa. Now, shout out to South Africa. In South Africa, the black leadership there, we got some new folks in, and they're going to take their land back from the white supremacists without compensation. I say bravo. They should have done that a long time ago. When I was over there, I was wondering, why in the hell are they just not taking their land back? I understood that they must have had a couple of puppets in office to let this type of shit go on, where the white people are living in the lap of luxury over there in South Africa and the black people are living in squalor. They don't have no farmlands. They're living in these townships, which are basically housing projects, not even low-grade housing projects. They're just funneling people into really concentration camps. I wouldn't even call them housing projects. They have them in concentration camps called townships. So finally, they said, hey, we're going to take our land back and we're not going to compensate you. And I take my hat off to that. Letting these white supremacists disrespect them and maldistribute their resources, they're waking up and saying, no, enough is enough. And the white supremacists globally are crying foul. There's a petition to have some of the white supremacists from South Africa come over here as refugees. A lot of the conservatives want them over here. The white supremacist conservatives, they got a petition going on to help the white supremacists over in South Africa migrate over here as refugees. Now, why would we want people coming over from shithole countries? Remember, Africa's a shithole country, so we don't want no people from the shithole countries coming over here. Ain't that right, conservatives? Conservatives, I thought you said you didn't want people coming over from shitholes. So now the shithole is okay to let people come through? You understand? And also, these Afrikaners, these colonizers are talking about war. My African brothers and sisters need to be ready. because these white supremacists are going to get support from other white supremacists globally. You already have white supremacists like Laura Southern over there being antagonistic with her little racist ass. So the brothers and sisters need to be on point over there and do the right thing. Get your land back. It's your God-given right to live on your land and thrive on your own land. This fake moral high road that we think we have to take, that's not going to happen. And this is where we need to start cleaning house, because I've seen a couple of bedwinches from South Africa on Twitter talking about, this ain't right. We shouldn't do that. They just want to get the land back so the government can have it. So you got these bedwinches. And y'all look at my Twitter timeline. I've retweeted some of these. It's only a small few, by the way. It's not a lot, to the credit of the South African brothers. But you had a couple of bedwinches over there from South Africa trying to cape for white daddy. Excuse me. And this is a problem. We got a global problem in black society where we got to do some house cleaning. This is why we need to have structures and systems in place so that we can do house cleaning utilizing our system and our institutions. This is why I'm so big on promoting black businesses, because when we have businesses, that's the foundation of institutions, structures, and systems, because you have a financial base. All systems are fueled by a financial base. This is why y'all see me, I'm hell on promoting black businesses. We gotta really emphasize that. We gotta get the black business game in order for us to have a system to reward and punish dissenters in black society, people who harm black society by caping for white daddy. See, the thing is with black society, unlike other societies, like I said before, they know how to clean house if something is going to be, or someone is going to be, detrimental to the betterment of their society and their culture. Other groups know how to clean house with that person. They will ostracize that person. They will use their system to put that person on the outs. White society is doing this now. Black folks, we got a habit of just letting fuckery fester. We have fuckery going on, and we'll just let it sit up and fester, and it goes unchecked. We got a very bad habit of doing that. Earlier today, for example, let me give y'all a good example. I put up a picture on my Instagram. You know, I put up a lot of funny memes and funny pictures. And there's a picture, and you know, black folks, we're going all out with the whole Black Panther, dressing up like the, you know, the Black Panther characters, and doing the African themed photos. And there was a photo of this dude and this chick, and she was naked. I think she's pregnant. Big old titties hanging down. She had body paint on, looked like watercolors, some cheap body paint covering her titties, and her dude looked real moist, and he had on like it's supposed to be African paint, but it looked like a Wonder Woman paint on his chest. Some Wonder Woman paint, and he had on some little dingy Michael Kors drawers. His ass tooted up. It just real moist. Y'all go to my Instagram and look at it. And I put up the picture, and I put the caption. I said, well, damn, when did they start taking Section 8 in Wakanda? It was a very funny picture. But then what's interesting, I had a bunch of Negroes hopping in there with a lot of fake outrage, and that was very interesting. They were like, oh, ain't nothing wrong with that picture. Why are you talking about them? Those are brothers. They still are brothers and sisters. Why are we talking about our people like that? They still our brothers. It was that type of thing. And let me get y'all straight on this. Goofy fuckery, I don't take ownership of that. I'm tired of black folks taking ratchetness and fuckery, making it a black thing. I'm sick of that shit. We're going to have to clean house with that. Because a lot of people, they're so used to ratchetness in their own family, They're so used to ratchetness in their own lives. They're so used to buffoonery in their own lives. Those of us who mock it and ostracize fuckery, we're looked at as the bad guys. And I'm tired of niggas caping for dumb shit. We gotta stop being the dumb shit people. Whenever somebody comes around us doing something stupid and goofy and ratchet, we gotta make excuses for them. No, we don't. We're gonna have to clean house with that. And I'm telling y'all, if anybody follows me and y'all have a hankering for just constant dumb shit, and y'all love goofy hood rat fuckery, y'all don't have to follow me at all. I wish you do not follow me, because you're useless to me. I'm all about empowerment and group empowerment. And if your whole thing is just getting a kick out of fuckery and making excuses for fuckery, you don't have to follow me. I don't need you. I don't need a large number of folks. Unfortunately, I do. I will say fortunately and unfortunately. I have a large number of people who follow me on social media, but that's not always a good thing. I got a lot of people who follow me. A lot of them are trolls, though. A lot of them are trolls, and a lot of them are just looky-loos who just want to see what's going on and see what's trendy. You know, that doesn't benefit me none. I don't care about just numbers. I care about quality. I like quality people. Like I always said, I just need 300 quality down-ass people. I'm good with that. You can get a lot of shit done with just 300 people. Look at the movie 300. That's what I like about that movie. That was the whole theme of that movie. A small group of people changed the course of history. You go back to the Haitian Revolution. It started with a small group of people. Wasn't the whole island of Africans. It was a small group of people who had a voodoo ceremony in the swamp. They changed the course of history. They were all on code. And when they got on code, others got on code. So I'm not all about just numbers of fuckery. I'm not in this for a numbers game. I'm in this for a results game. I want results popping off. And the problem is, when it comes to tackling white supremacy, we got a lot of folks who want to start lollygagging and bullshitting when it comes to staying on code and when it comes to handling our business. Because truth be told, a lot of black folks like to talk a good game, but at the end of the day, when it comes to doing something, when it comes to actually building something, when it comes to putting money on the plate, when it comes to putting some footwork out here in the game, all of a sudden we start getting excuses. And we're going to have to clean house from that. All the talkers, we got to clean house. If you just want to sit up and talk, you're going to have to go sit down somewhere. You're going to have to go on over there back in the big house with Massa. Because truth be told, that's what cats want. They really want butter biscuits. See, understand, when people go out here marching and protesting, see, a lot of them like all that marching and protesting because they're not going to do anything. Because the minute it comes down to doing something, all of a sudden, the coon gene pops out. And that always brings me back to that march in Michigan years ago, and there was this mammy, and I'm calling her a mammy. She jumped in front of the Klan, and there was something on Oprah, and I want y'all to listen to this. I think her name was Keisha Thomas, but they did a Where Are They Now of this woman. And I want y'all, this is the mindset of a lot of black people right here. We're going to have to be very honest. This is the mindset of a lot of black folks out here. We'll talk a good game, but when it comes time to putting in work and bringing it to the white supremacist asses for real, for trying to harm us, then all of a sudden, the butter biscuits start flowing. Now listen to this. This girl was on Oprah, and this is a Where Are They Now segment. Hold on 1 second.
In 1996, the KKK was holding a meeting near the University of Michigan.
Hundreds came out to protest, and that's when 18-year-old student Keisha Thomas made headlines. She used her own body as a human shield to protect a man wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt as he was being physically attacked by protesters. In 1998, I sat down with Keisha to talk about what that was like. Keisha says that she risked her own life because it was the right thing to do. Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
Weren't you afraid that they were going to then turn on you?
And, you know, she's a big old chunky. She was chunky back then. I think she's lost a little weight now, but this is her talking.
You?
I know you believe in angels, but it felt like two angels had lifted my body up and laid me down. And if you're covered by God, then, you know, you do what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You don't worry about anything else.
And listen to them applauding that bullshit. See what I'm saying right here? Two angels lifted her up and put her over the white supremacists. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Because now you're making it seem like white supremacy is some divine shit from God. No, it ain't. It's not. And I'm telling black folks, if this is your mentality, get your ass away from me. You can get the fuck away from me with that dumbass mentality right there. You don't get no points for that. This whole, that's praising white daddy bullshit. No. No, God did not lift you up to put you over this dirty ass white supremacist trying to harm us. And see, the problem is we keep giving these white supremacist passes. Now look at them. They're in power now. They're fully in the white extremist. Forget about the white supremacists. The white extremists are in full power right now. We got them all up in the White House. See, when I think that happened in the 90s. I think this whole incident happened in the 90s. See, when brothers was trying to bring it to their asses, we got the mammies out here fucking it up. Hold on. Let me play some more of her. Wait a minute. Hold on.
And so was it sort of like an out-of-body angel experience for you?
It was kind of like for women that have kids, when they see their kid in danger, you don't think it's a natural reaction to kind of go in there and you know, do what you got to do.
But this wasn't your kid. This was a white man at a Klan rally wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt.
Right. But he was, I mean, he was still a human being.
And you see that? Did you hear that? That's mammy talk. When you see a child, when you see your child getting hurt, you got to go in there and save your child. But even Oprah said, that ain't your child. That's a white supremacist. Well, he's still a human. That's mammy talk. That's mammy. That's plantation mammy talk. That's how they would talk on the plant. Come on, child. That's my baby. Ooh, my white baby. Come on, child. Baby, that's my white baby. Child, I got to protect master. That's my baby. That's fucking mammy talk. This is what I'm saying. Y'all with that fake moral high road. It ain't no moral high road. Niggas are just comfortable being on the damn plantation with the mammy slave coon talk. When we're trying to really free ourselves from these white extremists and put that work in on their ass, here you go with the apron, the head wrap, and the butter biscuits. Good Lord. Hold on, let me see if she got some more to say on this.
Since that photo of Keisha became a Life magazine photo of the year, so we tracked her down to find
out. And notice that, and hear that. That photo of her protecting that white supremacist, that became Life magazine photo of the year. The white supremacists really prop that up. That's what they want. They love their Negroes protecting violent white supremacist terrorists. They love their Negroes. When you protect the white supremacist terrorists, oh, you get all types of rewards and extra biscuits.
Doubt how that day impacted her life.
When I was 18 and this whole incident happened and all of a sudden I'm in Life magazine and Oprah's calling, and I'm just a kid with an idea who at the moment did the right thing. I was overwhelmed and amazed. Now, on the flip side of that coin, I got a lot of hate mail. And a lot of people still to this day hate me. I get death threats and they want me to die because they feel that what I've done is traded my race. I do believe that people were caught up in a rage and they would have killed this man. Just like a pack of wolves, people have taken on the mob mentality and the energy in that air was extremely violent.
Because these white supremacists were trying to kill us, which is what they're doing. Yeah, these white supremacists are trying to kill us. Damn. Which is what they're doing. They've infiltrated law enforcement and they're killing us in droves. And we got to take the moral high road with these assholes? No.
I never felt more sure of what I was supposed to do than in that moment. A lot of people ask me, did I ever make contact? Did he ever say thank you? I never heard from this man again. But the interesting thing about that is I was downtown at a coffee house back in the day, and a kid came up to me and said, hey, I want to say thanks. I said, thanks for what? He said, that was my dad. At the end of the day, this was somebody's father.
Who gives a fuck? Who gives a shit? And they got her marching in Selma with the NAACP and all that old shit.
We marched for voting rights, for justice in the police department and the justice system.
Shut up.
And that we want better schools and education for
all. Shut up.
We marched maybe anywhere from 18 to 22 miles during the day. And then at night, we would have a teaching in these different communities.
And
had people from all
and they got her in the room. There's a picture of her. There's a picture of her in a room full of white people teaching them about racism and how bad. Get the fuck out of here. Her name is Keisha Thomas. So she done got a plate of biscuits. She's with the NAA Coon P, all of them. And speaking of the NAACP, I want you, and I talked about this on, I think Ustream a few, like last week or the week before. Let me put my spit music back on while I talk, fam. Hold on, man. My computer's, I'm working two computers. Come on, goddammit. Hold on. I'm trying to get this shit to work. But I was talking about the Atlanta child murders. And I was just talking about the mentality of black people back in the 80s. This is when the Atlanta child murders happened. And how the mentality is so much different now. We started to change in the late 90s. And again, I think this is when the incident happened with this person, this Keisha person. I think we got on the coon train in larger numbers with Clinton in office. We thought we had a friend in Clinton. And notice a lot of black folks kind of hopped on the coon train. When brothers like Khalid Muhammad and those people died, the coonery kind of stepped up a little bit. We didn't have an empowering mindset then. We stopped having that empowerment mindset. We started to think like integrationists. But understand, back in the 70s and 80s, coming out the 60s, black people were still about that life. And I was talking about the Atlanta child murders, and there were white supremacist groups behind that. That's a reality. And this is something that they've been covering up for over 30 years. There were white supremacists behind killing those black children down there. That Wayne Williams guy, he was the fall guy. They made Wayne Williams the fall guy. And the murders happened around 79, 80, 81. It was around that time. And they made this black guy the fall guy, but he wasn't even accused of or convicted of killing children. He got convicted of killing two adults. And after he was convicted and he went to jail, some of the murders still went on. They don't tell you about that. But the reason why they did not want to tell the truth about white supremacists killing black children, because they knew at that time black folks were down to whoop ass. And they knew black folks would have been whooping ass all up and down Atlanta. You got to understand, back then in the 80s, especially the early 80s, black folks were still about that life. And also, right around 80, that's right after Roots came out. Roots came out in 77. So black people, you know, black folks felt a certain way about that. You also had a lot of black folks who were Vietnam vets, brothers fresh over from back home from Vietnam. Yeah, brothers was about that life back then. So they had to do a lot of covering up. You couldn't, it wasn't going to be none of that bullshit. Because understand, back in 1980, there was a riot down in Miami where the police killed this brother. I think his name was McDuffie. Where are my Miami people? They killed a brother named McDuffie. and he was a businessman. I think he was riding a motorcycle, and law enforcement killed this dude. He was a well-respected brother in the community down there in Miami, and they acquitted the people who killed him. The Overtown Riots, that's what they called him. But when they acquitted the dude who killed his brother, black people went out in the streets and started giving white people that work in Miami. They don't like to talk about that. Black people in Miami shut the whole city down. They had Miami. People were scared to go to Miami for a long time because brothers was out there beating white people in the streets. They killed like 8 white people down there. So that had that whole area shut down and shook. Black folks weren't playing no games like that down there. You think the cocaine cowboys? Nah. Shit, the brothers was putting in work down there in Miami. Y'all look up the McDuffie riot. You understand? And even before that, some years before that in the 70s, they had the zebra murders up there. I think it was in the Bay. Those brothers, they were tired of police brutality, so they were going around the Bay killing white people. Look up the zebra murders. They don't like to talk about that. These are things that are not talked about at all. They do not talk about that. But I say that to say the mentality is totally different. It was totally different back then. You couldn't be on that dumb shit. And I remember looking at footage of the McDuffie riot after the verdict came out. They pushed the NAACP out there outside the courthouse talking that, oh, well, we need to come around and do something in an amicable way. We need to think about what we doing. We need to take our time and wait for the system. The NAACP was talking that, and they told the NAACP, the brothers in the street said, fuck you. They told the NAACP, you off code and we ain't fucking with you. Because understand, anytime something happens, when you see the NAACP come out, the bullshit is about to pop off. They're there to pacify everybody. That's just the long and short of it right there. When you see the NAACP come out, they're here to pacify you. And they tried to pacify the brothers back then, and they said, oh no, you need to move out the way because somebody's going to die tonight. Somebody's dying tonight. They tried that NAACP bullshit in 92 out here. They said, no, you need to move out the way, NAACP. It's about to be on and popping. Go and sit on over there before you get this work too. You see, there was an immediate house cleaning. See, the thing is, we need to have a house cleaning mentality all the time. We need to have a house cleaning mentality where we're going to ostracize and out people who are not going to be about empowerment. You're going to have to be about empowerment 24 hours a day. Because the thing is, we got too many comfortable coons out here. The coons have become way too comfortable. And we let coons run amok. We let coons sit up here and just sabotage nonstop. I talked about this the other day as well. There was a black dude out there in North Carolina. His name was, fuck, I can't think of his name. Somebody in the chat room helped me. I can't think of this dude's name, but he was an informant. He would go around filming and videotaping drug dealers around the neighborhood. And he ended up getting shot the other day. He got shot live on FaceTime. He was using FaceTime. He was filming somebody and they shot him. And the thing is, they're trying to make it seem like he's some kind of Robin Hood vigilante hero. But no, this dude was a drug user himself. So he was just basically an informant getting some butter biscuits for himself. And they're trying to flip it as if he was doing something fly for the community. And he wasn't. See, a lot of people on the streets, there's an immediate house cleaning when it comes to coonery like that. Even if you're in the streets hustling, you don't have nobody out here trying to sabotage the game for their own benefit. He's not no Robin Hood vigilante trying to clean up the streets. He's just trying to get a couple of extra hits of cocaine for himself. So you're violating the code right there. So people step to him. I ain't got no sympathy for that. I have no sympathy whatsoever because he was a coon. If you're going to clean up the streets, clean up the streets. But don't you be out there getting high and snitching on niggas so you can get extra drugs for yourself. Fuck out of here. You got what you deserved. You play stupid ass games, you get stupid results. That happens. You should have known better. You knew some shit like that would happen if you out here being a damn snitch and letting it be known that you're a snitch and you thought the police was going to have your back. Nah, you better know better. But we got to have that mentality. We got to get cold with it when it comes to these coons out here. We got to stop letting these coons be comfortable. This is why y'all notice that dude Maj Touré I had a beef with. I had to publicly distance myself from him. See, that's me house cleaning. I'm going to talk it like I walk it and walk it like I talk it. I clean house too. If I see some shit or some people around me and I see them doing some things that's going to be detrimental to black society, I'm going to publicly distance myself from you. Because that Maj dude, when I start looking at how this dude was moving, I'm like, okay, this dude is a shill for the NRA. The NRA is using this dude to hide their racism. So nah, I'm not fucking with this dude, even though I had him on my show. Nah, I'm cool on you. House cleaning time. I don't trust this nigga. My bad for having him on and anybody fucking with him. Nah, it's not a good look. We got to roll like that. I had to shut that down real quick. But the thing is, we have people out here. There's coons that we have out here that's so unbelievable. You got some coons out here that'll make Jesse Lee Peterson look like Farrakhan. They got this one Confederate coon, and I know y'all have seen videos of this guy. He walks around in the Confederate suit, and a lot of these people, they hire them for like slavery enactments and all this old shit. And this one dude, what's his name? I don't even know what city. H.K. Edgerton. Now, this dude walks around in the Confederate outfit. He's a black Confederate. And I want y'all to listen to this Negro. And the thing is, this Negro sounds like the grandparents and the older uncles of a lot of black folks. If you really listen to him, if you have a conversation with some of your uncles, take a good listen to him. Listen to this dude right here. His name is H.K. Edgerton. Listen to him.
They were crying out for help. Well, black babies. The whole institution of slavery has been blamed solely on Christian white folks in the South, and the whole world acts as though it didn't participate, and the whole world did participate. You know, black folks and white folks in the South and America, we've been family in lieu of slavery for a long time.
So did y'all hear what this coon said? He said, black folks and white folks in America, we've been family in lieu of slavery for a long time. So you understand this. A lot of these coons and bedwinches and mammies out here, they look at white supremacists as family. You understand that? They still have that slave thinking where they look at the white supremacists as their family. That's just mama. That's just white daddy. Just like that clip I played earlier of that Keisha Thomas lady. She was like, well, when you see your child getting hurt, you just want to do something about your child. You understand? We got to understand there's a lot of Negroes who think like this. We got a clean house with them. Hold on.
For me, the victory didn't come with Marsley over there at Appomattox Courthouse for those folks. In the hearts and minds of us, that thing still was there, the love for the Southland of America. So the only way, basically, that we could do this thing is to dumb down the people and grab black folks and divide and separate them down in the South. How are you going to separate Confederate history and Southern history from black folks? But they don't talk about Levi Carnine, Reverend Mike Lee, Hope Collier, John Edgerton. They don't talk about these folks because...
He's naming other old coons that were around during the Confederacy, by the way.
I mean, these are black heroes who fought very bravely. Reverend Mike Lee said, bodyguard to Honorable General Robert E. Lee, he told his people, after he'd educated himself with the money that General Lee had given him, keep your faith in God, buy you some land, get yourself educated, and beyond all else,
put your faith and trust in the white man in the South. No other. Because
this Negro said, buy you some land, get you an education, and put your faith in the white man in the South. This is like a Dave Chappelle skit.
He knew what was in the hearts and minds of Southern people. These folks talked about Nathan Bedford Price. If it don't be for Nathan Bedford Price and that original Ku Klux Klan, I'm not talking about what happened after Nathan Bedford Price. Many of us Southerners, red, yellow, black, and white, would be just like the dinosaur around here in the Southland America, extinct. And people don't understand that. They just say Ku Klux Klan, and all of a sudden they gather these images of my flag and white men standing around beating and hanging and whipping black folks. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Thaddeus Stevens and his boys found out how successful that the Klan was at defending Southern folks, red, yellow, black, and white. So what did they do? They started sending their boys down here and dressing up like the Klan and committed terror in the South. And then all of a sudden, you know, Nathan Bedford Price understood this thing. He told his men, men, let's just come home. Let's go home and forget about this thing. And I'll tell you something. From all the accounts of what you do find, there was not a single man who looked like me that wouldn't have given his life for Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Okay, that coon's talking about giving up his life for Nathan Bedford Forrest, the founder of the Klan. All right. Now, somebody in the chat room said that this guy, he died. H.K. Edgerton. Somebody said he died. Can y'all verify that? He probably did, and if he did, may he rest in peace. If he did, and that's not me playing the banjo. That's a video of them. They already put the banjo in there. They put the banjo in there already. They know they're coons. They put the banjo in there already. That wasn't me doing the sound effects. They knew what kind of coon he was. Somebody said it can't be real. It's realer than real deal Holyfield. Yeah, shit, you better look that dude up. He was real as hell. Some of these folks are so coonish, it's almost a parody. Some of these folks are so coonish. Y'all think Uncle Ruckus, y'all think that's a joke, and there's Negroes out here who act and think and talk just like that. We got to start making the coons real uncomfortable. See, we got a clean house. We got to do some house cleaning with these coons, these bed wenches, these fraudulent Negroes. We got to do a lot of house cleaning. And we're going to have to start distancing ourselves from full-time fuckery. Because look, I understand a little taste of fuckery every now and then. That's understandable. But full-time fuckery, no. We can't get down like that. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Shout out to everybody who has given to the Melanoid Ministries in the chat room, the Super Chats. Shout out to you guys. Somebody in the chat room said I need to do a documentary about the coons. I'm still planning on doing that. We definitely need to do that. I do plan on doing that. But again, all my people in the chat room, there's a lot of folks in here watching. Look over there in the comment, not the comment section, but right below the video. Get involved with the new ISM Radio Travel Show at Indiegogo. Y'all go there, contribute. We're almost halfway to the goal. We can get that popping. We can get that popping. Hell, tonight, all year's 2,000 people in here. Shit, everybody in this room right now. If y'all go to Indiegogo and give, what, $3? If everybody right now will go give $3 right now, we'll have it. We'll have it right then. All 2,000 of you guys right now listening to me live, go to the Indiegogo campaign. Everybody just give $3 right now, and then we got it. We'll be over. We'll have it. You dig? Also, man, this Sunday, again, I will possibly be debuting my group, my R&B group, Mink Slide. I've been playing little clips of the music on Instagram. People are loving the music. I'm just playing little snippets. And the full video, the official music video, I might debut Sunday night on my live YouTube stream. So you guys have to tune in. You guys have to tune in. Y'all follow me. Subscribe to my YouTube channel here, Tariq Radio. Everybody looking here, y'all subscribe. And all that stuff. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm trying the vegan thing for a month, family. I'm doing the vegan thing. I started yesterday. I'm going to try to do it for a whole month. Just nothing but vegan stuff. No meat, no dairy, all vegan. And yesterday I had some salads and what did I have? Some beans, rice, gluten-free this, gluten-free that. Today I had a veggie burger for the first time. Wasn't bad. And my wife is making lasagna, veggie lasagna tonight. I'm going to see how that tastes when I'm going to do the vegan thing. Where are my vegans at? Y'all need to hit me up. Let me know some good vegan recipes. I keep hearing that they make cauliflower taste like chicken. I want to try that. I keep hearing that. They keep saying that there's a way you can make cauliflower taste like buffalo wings or some shit. So I want to try that. Did somebody say the link, the Indiegogo link didn't work? Okay, my bad. Hold on 1 second, family. Let me fix that link for you guys in the chat room while I'm right here for you. Hold on 1 second. Okay, the Indiegogo link. Okay, let me fix that link. Hold on 1 second. All right. I'm fixing that link right now, family. All right. I just fixed the link. The Indiegogo link works now, family. The Indiegogo link works, ladies and gentlemen. So you guys can go to Indiegogo. Y'all click the link below. And I'm glad y'all pointed that out to me. Y'all go to the Indiegogo link and contribute. Everybody in the chat room right now, go down to Indiegogo, contribute $3. Everybody in the room, throw $3 in the plate, and we got it. You dig? All right, but anyway, I'm going to see you guys on Sunday live on YouTube. Also, go to 1804movie.com. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, ladies and gentlemen. And I will see you guys on Sunday. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And also follow our music page, Mink Slide Music, on Instagram. Mink Slide Music on Instagram. I'ma holla.